Florida law. Ask an attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law with attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Hey, it's toward the end of the year, and just Merry Christmas to everyone. Happy New Year. Happy holidays. Glad to be here this morning. We're broadcasting from Jacksonville this morning. But the name of the show is Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney, and we're here to help people. We're here to help you in any way we possibly can. Its sole purpose of being here is to answer legal questions, get you pointed in the right direction, and during this Christmas season, holiday season, maybe give you a little peace of mind. Get you pointed in the right direction, give you a little peace of mind, at least give you the answer. Hopefully we'll give you the answer. Can answer most questions, can't answer everything, every possible legal question you could possibly ask me. I might not be able to answer some of them, but I've hosted the show for 34 years, and I've answered many, many, many questions and learned the answers to many questions and had other legal attorneys on the show that can answer legal questions, so I've learned from them as well. And sometimes I learn from you. Sometimes I kind of throw it out there and ask someone if they've had a experience in a legal matter or maybe dealing with Division of Motor Vehicles or some government agency and so forth. So, hey, if you have a question, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Your question can be about wills, trusts, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, health care surrogates, living wills. It can be just about any area of law. If you have a legal question, I'd be more than glad to try to help you in any way I can. All you have to do is to dial this toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. And again, we can try to help you with most anything. You've been up all night worrying about something. You wake up in the middle of the night thinking about something. Something you're concerned about. Something you worry about. Maybe you're not being treated right by someone. You want to know, you think it's not fair, you want to know what someone else thinks? Hey, we're here to help. And all you have to do is to dial this number, 877-943-9673. And so this is the time of year where a lot of people start thinking about the goals maybe they didn't make or didn't achieve during the year. A lot of people, you know, they want to lose weight, they want to do this, they want to do that, but they, a lot of people want to get their estate planning finally done or started or make those changes they've been thinking about for a long time. And that's one of those things they kind of put off. And so I've had a lot of people come in the last minute, and a lot of people do their estate planning right before a big trip too. So a lot of people travel during Christmas and holiday season, and they want to get their estate planning done. So I've been dealing with lots and lots of clients in that mode. So maybe you're in that mode. So if you never have an estate plan, guess what? You have one. The state of Florida makes one for you. We'll talk about that a little bit during the show, but let's go to Brian in Bradenton. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. What can we do for you?
We're riding in the car with my fiance right now. She had an accident back in January, auto accident where she hit somebody from behind.
Mm-hmm.
And it was probably about 20 miles an hour, so it wasn't anything major. But one of the girls that she hit is suing, she has all kinds of medical bills. She's claiming it triggered her bipolar and on and on and on. But so we really questioned if that's all valid or not. But the reason I'm calling is that our insurance company, we have $100,000 coverage per person,
mm-hmm.
is saying that their lawyer wants us to fill out a financial statement. And I just don't know if we should do that or not, you know, of listing everything, all of our assets.
Now, who wants that done? The insurance company attorney?
Right. Oh, yeah. The other insurance company, the one that's, you know, the girl that got injured, her lawyer, her attorney.
Well, you know what? I would ask your insurance company if they plan on settling the case and just writing the check for $100,000.
Yes, they do. Well,
they do, but they want more than that, I think.
Yeah, no. Like okay, so you're going to be required to do the financial. So let me ask you this. Okay. So they're satisfied medically that your fiance caused all of the injuries they're claiming, and their claim's going to be over $100,000. Well, at some point, and I think this is the point, your fiancée is going to need her own attorney, because the insurance company definitely doesn't sound like, you know, they're going to write a check, wash their hands of it, and, you know, that leaves your fiancée hanging out there for the difference on anything that they want to sue for. And they want a financial affidavit, which they... So does your fiancée have assets?
Yeah, she has two houses.
Is one of them homestead?
Yes.
Well, the homestead's protected.
Okay.
The other asset... Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just wondering if we could quick claim that to her son, the other one, because he lives there, and he's lived there for years, her son and his wife. I don't know if you could do that legally or not.
Well, the problem is...
But it's in her name.
Yeah, they could challenge that as a fraudulent transfer because there's a pending threat of litigation.
Right. Okay.
I think your fiancé would be best served by having your own attorney at this point, because the insurance company, your insurance company has basically decided to pay off $100,000 and leave her out there for the difference. So at that point, you need to have someone that's going to fight the medical claim that the accident caused all of her problems, basically.
Right. Well, our insurance company said that, you know, if we go to court, they supply a defense attorney, but that's all. Not beforehand, they don't, you know. So, would it be recommended to hire a private detective to see if this girl is injured as she says she is?
Well, I would hire your own attorney to look at that. That would be my advice, to have at this point, since they're going to write a check for $100,000, to have your own attorney get involved, and maybe they could co-counsel with the insurance company attorney and so forth. But you know, I think you need your individual representation at this point.
All right, do you do that, or have someone you recommend for that?
If you want to call my office, I'll try to find you somebody.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right, Joe. I appreciate your help.
All right, thank you.
Wait a minute.
Let's go to Kevin in St. Petersburg. Oh, Kevin's gone. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, Kevin, call right back. If you still have a question, I'd be glad to talk to you. All you need to do is to call the toll-free number 877-943-9673. Let's go to John in St. Pete. John, are you there?
John, it's in Brandon.
All right, John and Brandon, go ahead.
Joe, I'm considering a wrongful death lawsuit against a company that furnishes nursing and assisted living and independent living. My father moved in April of 16, and 2 weeks later he was dead. Simply because of the fact that he had been living at a assisted living place and where he needed to be, and then he moved into an independent living place. And
so when did he die?
When
did he pass away?
April of 16.
All right. So you might have a statute of limitations problem here, but go ahead. I'm very sorry for your loss. Go ahead and finish telling me your story there.
we might have.
Well, yeah, you've waited, you know, two and a half years.
Wait a minute. It's 17. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's 17.
All right. So that you might be okay. So go ahead and finish your story.
So just in the fact that he was living at an assisted living place and then moved into an independent living, does it show, you know, good sense, which I told him. And I told them, and, of course, he was on his own, so it didn't make any difference to them.
All right, did you try to get a medical doctor's statement that of what his needs were?
No. He handled it all because they considered him to be competent. So,
can you come up with a doctor's statement that he wasn't competent at the time?
I don't know. I don't know.
Because absent that, he would have the right to make his own decision. Were you his power of attorney?
No.
So he had no legal representation as far as the power of attorneys go?
No.
All right. Well, I could give you, just from this two-minute conversation we're going to have, I don't see a case, but, you know, you might want to sit down with an attorney. I know a very good law firm that handles nursing home litigation. I mean, that's basically all they do is, you know, a lot of people get injured in nursing homes or have lack of care that causes something. And they pretty much have dedicated their whole firm to this type of lawsuit. So I would be glad to give you their name. They can do an evaluation. If their evaluation determines there's a case, they certainly take it. But if it determines, and I've had a lot of people, you know, go to them and it was determined they didn't have a case. So if that would be you, they would let you know because these cases are very expensive to pursue. Those they accept, they get nice settlements, and those they don't, you know, sometimes they go to multiple law firms, and if the cases are not accepted, then you don't have a case. So that's how it works.
Okay, I understand.
But if you give me a call, I'd be glad to, or email me. I'll give out my email address and phone numbers here a little bit. I'll be glad to give you the name of the person to contact or the firm to contact, and you can go from there.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Once again, I'm sorry for your loss. Let's go to Vince in Sarasota.
Good morning, Joe.
Hey, Vince.
My question is basically very simple. I had a will drawn up here in Sarasota about 3 years ago, and the lawyer has since retired, so I don't have her to ask my question. What I'm asking is, I had a will drawn up. I have no properties. The only thing I have is my savings in one of the larger investment firms. And so I have my savings and my beneficiaries listed on my savings. Other than that, I have a car and maybe a few other things. You know, do I need to go into an estate planning or with the will? Is that will that will avoid probate?
No, wills don't avoid probate. So if you have, I don't know the size of your estate, but the difference between wills and trust, if you die with anything just in your name, then your will would have to be probated because you'd have assets in the name of a deceased person. If you die with your bank accounts in the name of a living trust, then they would avoid probate because they're not in the name of a deceased person. They're in a living trust. Another advantage of a trust is that if you become incapacitated before death, then your successor trustee that you choose can now manage all of your money in the trust for your benefit while you're living, avoiding any guardianship. So generally, I mean, I don't know the size of your estate. I'd probably have to ask you some more questions. But generally, I think you would probably need a trust without knowing all the details about your estate.
Okay.
We do have an office in Sarasota. We do have a office in Lakewood Ranch. I don't know how far away that is from you, but we do have an office with a we don't charge for a consult to sit down and, you know, discuss it in detail.
Okay, so then I would have to have an estate planning of some type, you know, to cover it.
To avoid probate, you would need more than a will.
Okay, all righty. Well, then you answered my questions, and I thank you.
All right, thank you.
All righty, bye bye.
Now, So some people will put beneficiaries on accounts. And would that avoid probate? Yes. Is that the best way to do it? I would say no. And again, the reason is you, with a beneficiary on account, you have to die before anyone gets the account. With a trust, the successor trustee can get to it to manage it for your benefit if you become incapacitated. And this all would be better because you avoid probate and avoid guardianship, and the trust is a private document as well, which is another big advantage. Hey, if you have a legal question, we're speeding through the show here. We're about 25% or 20% through the show, or maybe 30% through the show, somewhere in there. So give us a call. We have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open, and we are more than happy to try to help you, get you pointed in the right direction. And all you have to do is to dial that number. Again, it's 877-943-9673. If you would like to contact our firm, the law office phone number, not the radio show number, the law office number for... also, let me tell you, we have a free estate planning poster sheet. And we have a book deal going on here. We have two books. We have an estate planning, a Florida estate planning handbook, and we have an asset protection / Medicaid planning book. And if you would like both of those books, they are $25. If you would just like our free estate planning poster sheet, and we mail the poster sheet if you buy the books as well, but if you'd like just our free estate planning poster sheet all about wills versus trusts, like that question I had from Vince, it would be perfect for someone to have in their hand an analysis of the difference between wills and trusts when you're making your decision. If you'd like that, one or both of those things, you can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. If you just want to make an appointment for a free estate planning consult, same number, 1-800-226-3529, extension 200. If you'd like to email me your name and address, it's simply Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe at attypip.com. That's P like Paul, IPLikePaul.com. If you'd like to text me your name and address, you can do that at 727-667-3967. That this text number is 727-667-3967. All right, let's go to Bill in Jacksonville. Hey, Bill.
Hey, good morning. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. And you?
Sir, I was listening. Fine. A little wet, hoping the rain will stop. But I have an issue pulled up that happened years ago. To give you a little history, back in 2001, I was married and went through a divorce. And it was a van that the court had gave to my ex-wife. And the van, evidently she let the payments go in the rear and they repossessed it. Well, in 2016, I was filing my taxes with H&R Block. And I have a savings account, and I had earned some interest in it. It wasn't much, like $60. And I thought, well, I wanted to claim it. She goes, usually you don't have to, less than $100. So I don't want any problem with the IRS. So I claimed it. And in result, in 2017, I got a form, a CP-2000 from the IRS, stating that I owe this money back in 2001 for this. It was a loan company that I guess bought the loan from another company here in Florida and bought another from Florida, changed names. Mm-hmm. But I traced it down on back of the tax form. And this form was from the IRS, and it says agree or disagree. I disagreed, and it asked me to explain why. And I explained why that she had possession of the van after the divorce. And
did she have ownership possession or just possession? I mean, was the title ever changed to her name?
Well, she never changed it to her name.
No, you would have had to sign the title over to her name. Did you ever do that?
To be honest with you, sir, I don't remember.
Okay.
It's been 18 years, you know.
All right. Well, first of all, if you didn't do that, then you were still the owner. If you did do that and gave it to her and she didn't take it to DMV to do the actual transfer, then that might be a different question. But also, the other question is, so you're getting a form from the IRS?
Right. I've received two of them already. And, you know, my first disagreement, they came back and said they still find me at fault. And I guess there's a new law out at 2017 or 2016 that the finance company is asking me for the about $700 of the tax money or something of the loan that when the van was repossessed was new. It was $22,000 or $24,000. And I think when they repossessed it, they about $3,000. But when I called the IRS there in Kansas City and talked to the representative, he told me that, you know, all I can do is fill out the dispute form. But now I've got two forms, and they're saying they still find me at fault for this van, but it was 18 years ago. How am I responsible for that? I didn't have possession of it.
Well, I would say you might have a case of statute of limitations with the loan company.
Well, why is the IRS?
Yeah, I don't know why the IRS is involved in that. You're probably going to need a tax attorney that deals with tax disputes to deal with the IRS for you. They don't go away that quickly, and the statute of limitations usually doesn't. Well, usually there's a three-year look-back for the IRS, too, so I'm not so sure why this has happened so long ago and now they're interested in it. You might be able to claim statute of limitations with them, too, unless there's some fraudulent. They can prove some fraudulent intent.
Well, in the form, they said there was a difference between line 44 and line 42, and that difference is that I was claiming interest that I earned on that savings account, and I didn't owe anything, you know, for that year, tax year. But I'm like, why is it coming up now after all these years?
All right, so you keep floating. Have you floated an answer to them that you haven't gotten back yet?
The second one, I have done two codes, and they say this is not a bill, but they keep putting interest on it. You know what I mean? The amount, they're saying this is not a bill.
I would just keep disputing that you owe it with written communication that you keep a record of. And then at some point, you might have to get to the point where you have an attorney intercede for you, but I would just keep responding that you're not, you know, this happened a long time ago, well past the point where you have records. Your belief is that you transferred the van to, you know, your ex-wife with a valid title, although that might be easy for you to go down to DMV and see how the ownership of that van existed. What's happened to the van along the way?
Well, what happened is it was we bought it new when we were married in 1990, well, almost 2000. And we owed about $3,000 more on it. And during the divorce, I had child support, and she had the house and all that. And one of the things in the divorce said that she had the new van. She had, back then it was new.
Mm-hmm. Have you sent a copy of that divorce decree to the parties pursuing you?
No, I haven't. That's the funny part. It's not the IRS is like working on behalf of the collection agency.
Well, the collection agency, I would just send them, say, this is my final letter to you. You're well past the statute of limitations on collecting this. And please don't bother me any further. The IRS is a little bit different matter. But, Bill, I'd be glad to talk to you off the air if you want to talk to me. I got to move on here.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. Let's go to Joe in Lakewood Ranch. Hello, Joe. Who's gone?
Joe in Lakewood?
Yes.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Okay, I got a question for you about a revocable trust. My wife and I started a revocable trust many years ago, and it was in Jersey. So we moved down to Florida, and we had a lawyer make it comply with the Florida laws.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's been fine with it. It's all documented. And then my attorney down here who changed it around to Florida laws, she retired without even any notification, by the way. She just all of a sudden wasn't there anymore. So my question is, I have no question about the revocable trust, but when one of us passes on, do I need a lawyer again to take care of that revocable trust?
Well, let me tell you, it probably wouldn't hurt to have an attorney look at it now. So there, you know, there are different types of trusts. Is this a joint trust between husband and wife?
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, typically what we do with a joint trust upon the death of the first spouse is to do a simple amendment, just saying that, you know, spouse died and the remaining spouse is the sole grantor, sole trustee. So we tweak the trust just a little bit. To show that one trustee has died and there's only one trustee left and one grantor left. Your power of attorneys and living wills, healthcare surrogate documents need to be updated every 3 or 4 years anyway.
Oh, I see.
So we have an office there in Lakewood Ranch where you're calling from, and we don't charge anything for a sit-down meeting to review your document and discuss things and possibly, if you're interested, updating the power of attorney living will.
I see. Why is it necessary to update the power of attorney every 3 or 4 years?
Simply because banks, financial and medical folks tend not to want to honor them after a 3 or 4 year period. They resist honoring them. So you kind of sometimes people even have to hire an attorney to make them do it, which is more expensive than just updating the document itself.
I see. But and we also have already written into this revocable trust the succession to our kids.
Yeah, this good. Yes, you have a distribution plan.
Yes,
and you have a plan of succession of who the trustees are going to be. So all that's in the document. That if that's the way you want it, that doesn't need to be tweaked or touched or amended.
But
if your attorney did everything properly on changing it from a New Jersey trust to a Florida trust, that would probably be fine.
Yes.
And it might be the outcome of the discussion would be that you don't have to do anything with your trust and will. I mean, that could all be fine. And you might just, the only need you might have would be updating the power of attorney, living will, and healthcare surrogate.
I see. Okay. What is the phone number of your office in the Lakewood Ranch?
All right, so I'm just giving you the toll-free number, which is easier for other people listening that might not be in your area.
Okay.
So it's just 1-800-226-3529.
Mm-hmm.
That's 1-800-226-3529.
Okay.
And we're at the town, we're on, just to tell you where we are in Lakewood Ranch, we're at 9040 Town Center Parkway.
Okay, where that is.
Yeah, so we're, but you have to make an appointment for that office.
Yeah, sure. Okay, listen, thank you so much for your help. You're
all
very
right.
Informative.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Okay, right. Bye-bye.
All right, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We are more than halfway through the show today, so if you have a legal question, here are the numbers. And our goal here is just to help people. So if we can help you, give you a little peace of mind, give you a little mental relief, give us a call at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. If you would like our free estate planning poster sheet, all about wills and trusts, the differences, and a little comparison, and the cost of probate. There's an article about the cost of probate that you would most likely like to avoid. If you'd like this, you can get it one of three ways. And also, we have the book offer. We have the Estate Planning Handbook and Medicaid/Asset Protection. Both books together are $25. The Estate Planning Poster Sheet is free. If you need or like one or both of these items, we'll give you the free poster sheet. Don't have to buy anything. That's fine. If you want the books, a little more detailed information than the Asset Protection Medicaid book. I have a full-time Medicaid attorney on staff, and all he does is help people rearrange things to qualify for Medicaid benefits. You don't have to spend down everything to qualify. There are ways to do that. So the two books, 25, or the free poster sheet, or both, here are the way you can get it. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com, or you can text 727-667-3967. All right, so we're zooming along here on the show. If you want to call the show, let me give the numbers. You have a toll-free number at 877 877- 943-9673. Let's go to Patrick in Tampa. Hey, Patrick.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. First time ever calling a talk show or anything like this. But
I'd ring the bell if I had one.
Okay. This is my situation. I've lived here in a trailer park. This is about a rental, an eviction thing. Do you know, will you listen to what I have to say about this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I've lived in this trailer park for 11 years. And come September, every August I go to San Antonio for vacation. I always pay my rent up in advance. Mm-hmm. Okay, and I even called the landlord that night and told him my situation that, you know, I paid to drop the $460 in for the rent there, and I went and paid my cable and electricity like I always do every year. Well, for some reason, he says he's never received September's rent. And I got buco of receipts, but I can't find that one. I've got a tracer on it at CVS Pharmacy. But he went and filed about a month ago. He gave me a three-day notice. He wanted September's rent, and I hadn't paid October's yet. So, and I was waiting till the last moment there. Then again, I told him, I said, I paid it and everything. I got a tracer on it. I went ahead the next day, put a tracer on it. He claims he's never received the money order and that. So basically he gave me a three-day notice, and that was about maybe 5 weeks ago. And then about 3.5 weeks ago, a server came out and he handed me a five-day notice that he was suing me. Okay, so I asked the server, I said, well, you know, what happens, you know, after these 5 days? He said that a sheriff would be out. Now, this has been almost three and a half weeks, and I haven't heard. I'm going through the process of trying to get out of here. I've got me a storage shed, and I'm trying to find another place and everything, but I am still here. But what I'm trying to ask is, you know, after this 5 day that he served me and said I was being sued, I had 5 days to fight it, and I didn't fight it. So I guess he wins, you know, whatever the word is for that, and judgment. And so basically what I'm trying to ask is, like, what would be the next step? Wouldn't he have to send a sheriff out here to basically give me...
Well,
so
generally the next step is to go to court, give you a court date. If you don't show up to that, the judge would sign an order, and then mm-hmm. the sheriff could use the... he could get the sheriff to get the order to get you out. So do you know if a court date was ever set?
No, there's no court date. It's never been set. No. Mm-mm.
And are you current on the rent except for that 1 month, that September?
Correct. Yes, sir.
And how long does it take CVS to get you a receipt for September?
Right.
How long does it take them?
90 days. I didn't really start going over there until about the 10th of October, after he really, when I went in and paid October's rent, he said again, Patrick, he hasn't received anything about September. So that's when I decided.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you have the resources to pay September, and then when you get the receipt, show it to him, and then you'll be up a month?
Yeah, I do have the resources. Yes, sir.
Why don't you try that?
Okay. All right. I
that'll take, the heat off and give you a little more time to find another place, maybe.
But really, I really want out of here, though, because also, too, is the trailer park is under contract mm-hmm. to be sold. And first, you know, I come home from San Antonio, and the surveyors in the park the next day, they're walking around with blueprints, and he's trying to tell us that he's just trying to get a loan to fix up the place because he is the only eyesore on the block here.
Yeah, did he have an attorney do the five-day notice for you?
Yes, he did, yes. Mm-hmm.
All right.
And he did. It's his own private attorney, as I understand it.
So you think if you went to pay the September rent and say, look, I'm going to pay this just waiting for the receipt to come, do you think he'd then go after you for attorney fees?
Right. I tried to call him probably about 3 weeks ago, and I had talked to a few of my customers and said, well, Patrick, you might as well just try to stay here. Go ahead and pay the rent. Winter months are coming up. You need a roof over your head. And he basically told me now that he's already went through the process of evicting me, that he wouldn't accept any money. So that's, you know, as of that, that's how that.
Do you have a lease agreement?
Yes, I do. It's supposed to be 30 days. You know, we're on a 30 days type of thing. But he says he can get you out of here in 30 days.
All right, but he accepted October rent and November rent.
Yes, he did. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well,
yes, he did.
But he don't think he would accept September rent.
I
don't know why he accepted. I don't know.
I called him. I know that don't make no sense, really, exactly. But I called him and I said, "Well, you know, I decided that you know it'd be best to my interest to stay here. And could I pay the September rent?" And he says, "No, I still want you out of here." Apparently, the park could be closed as early as the first of the year. He's got it up for $3 million, but the estimated value is only a little over $1 million.
Yeah.
Haven't got it zoned yet, but there's supposed to be a contract in the process, you know. So
yep.
I just want out of here anyway, but
right.
I just wanted to know exactly, I mean, could he come here at any moment? Because you hear so much going on in the church, because I'm not the only one.
No, I think he'd have to have a court order before, you'd have to have a court date and a court order to get you out of there.
That's what I thought so too,
yep.
Sir. All right.
All right, Patrick.
Well,
I wish you well.
Thank you very much
right.
for your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Connie in Bradenton.
Hi, Mr. Piffin. I'm the fiance that my husband just called about, the car accident that hit
yes.
a car
mm-hmm.
at a low speed, and then it hit the car ahead of it. There's three people that were involved in the accident, and this one girl who was the driver they want to settle for $100,000, my insurance company, Travelers.
Mm-hmm.
But they are saying that I might need to secure my assets, and they also want an affidavit that their attorneys, Jodat, they want an affidavit of my in what I'm worth. In other words, can I look in your pocketbook, please?
Well, there
you get it.
Well, I'll tell you. So they do that because they want to decide whether or not you have assets to they can pursue if they get the $100,000. You know, check. Well, what I would do, like I told your fiancé, Brian, I would hire an attorney at this point to intercede in your behalf and try not to get the insurance company to, you know, to settle for $100,000 and just they relieve themselves of the liability of anything over that when they do that.
They've already settled with one person in the accident for $100,000. Now, the driver, they're planning on settling with her for $100,000 as soon as they get my affidavit so that they're free and clear, evidently.
Well, then the thing would be to try to get the other side to sign that that's a full release and they won't go against you any further for any additional monies.
But my insurance company should be doing this, correct?
Well, that's why you might need your own attorney. Because they may, or you can ask them if they could do that, see what they say. You can say,
I asked them, I said, shouldn't I have an attorney? And they're saying it only unless it goes to court.
Yeah, but see, once they settle for $100,000, they're off the hook. So the question
they're off the hook.
Well, then that leaves you with the difference. If they sue for $200,000 and win, the insurance company's off the hook for the extra. See, if the insurance company hung in there and they evaluated the whole thing and they said, well, look, this is only worth $50,000 and we're not going to pay you $100,000 when the claim's only worth $50,000. So the insurance company can fight it and they can settle an amount, but if the insurance company loses, they would be responsible for the $200,000 if the other side could prove it was worth $200,000. If they settle $100,000, then they're off the hook for anything over $100,000.
We only have $100,000 coverage. That's the thing per person.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. If you had $1 million,
they just want to be out of it.
Yeah, they want to get out of it and hang you for the rest. I mean, that's the strategy of the insurance company. So what I'm saying, that's why I said you need your own attorney to negotiate with them. If they're going to settle for $100,000, see if at least they can get an agreement. They don't go against you for any additional funds.
Okay, I understand. Thank you. Mr. Pippin, one other question. I have two houses. one house I just re-homesteaded. It will be homesteaded coming up January. I just paid my taxes for it, right? My other house, my son lives in, and his wife and kid, that house is paid off for. Now, should I...
Well, see, the problem is anything you do now pending the threat of litigation could be a fraudulent transfer. And if you sold it to your son and took back a $100,000 mortgage or something, they still could look at all this and maybe untangle it, which is the problem. So, I mean, I can't just tell you that's a great idea and you think you're safe. Because
I've been moving back and forth from house to house for a while.
Your homestead will be protected. Your non-homestead, however that's determined, would not be. Okay?
Oh, wow. Wow. Very intense. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, that's why you need your own attorney to untangle all this for you if they can. And if you're going 20 miles an hour and all the, it doesn't, you know, it's possible that they can untangle this and get you released once the insurance company agrees to pay the $100, which it sounds like they already have. But I'd have your own attorney fight for you on this one. All right. Thanks for calling, though.
We'll call you for an attorney.
Yeah. You call me and I'll try to find an attorney for you there. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. You're listening to Ask an
Attorney.
Thank you so much. Oh, you're welcome. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We have about 9 minutes left in the show. We have time for your call. We have open lines right now. So if you have a question you'd like to ask me, it's 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Hey, if you'd like to have a free consult at our office, we have we actually have 20 office locations around Florida. We're broadcasting from Jacksonville. Saw a couple of nice clients yesterday in Jacksonville. We're always glad to meet with people. Sometimes there's actually no fee for the first consult to talk about wills and trusts and estate planning. And if you have other questions about other matters, either I have an attorney on my staff that can help you or I find one for you. And, you know, when you do a radio show, you get lots of questions in areas that you don't practice. So you just have learned how to... We have a network of people that I can that do other practice areas that we don't do to help people. So if you'd like to call the toll-free office number, oh, by the way, we have two books available. We have an estate planning handbook, and we have the asset protection / Medicaid planning book. And if you two books are $25, the estate planning poster sheet is free. If you just want the estate planning poster sheet, that's fine. If you want the books, also. Here's the way you can get that. We have a toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. We have you can email me your name and address. If you want the poster sheet, if you want the books, you can call the toll-free number. We can take a credit card charge. If you just want the poster sheet, you can also call. If you want the book, though, you need to probably call and give the credit card number. If you just want the poster sheet, you can also email me at Joe, your mailing address, joe@attypip.com. That's Joe, J-O-E, @attypip.com. If you want to text me your name and address, 727-667-3967. 727-667-3967. And again, if you want to call the show in the remaining moments, you have a toll-free radio show number to call at 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open at 877-943-9673. So why is estate planning so important to do? A lot of people out there just put this off forever, and then they're so surprised and have such great peace of mind when it's done. And I've heard so many times, well, this didn't take very long. It wasn't as difficult, and I'm so glad we finally can check this off the list and get it done. Why do people not like dealing with it? Well, hey, first of all, you're dealing with death, so that's not always a pleasant thing to think about. Second of all, you're dealing with what are you going to do with your assets when you die. So you're thinking about death. You're thinking about dealing with how to divide up your assets. You're wondering if I should leave something to this person or how much I should leave this person, how I should leave it to them, who gets my most treasured collectibles that I've accumulated all these years. I mean, a lot of decisions goes into this. And a lot of people like to think about it. Some people, unfortunately, will die before they ever come to any conclusion. I usually like to tell people, hey, if you haven't done your estate planning or you've been thinking about updating your estate planning, go do something and get it done and live with it a little bit. You can always change it. You know, time changes, circumstances change, assets change, relationships change. Because we need to proceed with the attitude, I need to get this done. And I know this might not be perfect, because it's never going to be perfect, by the way. And then when things come in or things happen, then you can always change it. And it's very easy to change and very it doesn't cost much. You can make a change on a trust for like $125. So if you want to roll with something thinking this is what I'm thinking right now, but, you know, I'm not my spouse, one of my children's going through a divorce. One of my children has got medical issues. One of my children has addictions. I'm not quite sure this is what I want to do. Do something. Live with it for a little bit. You can always change it. Let's go to Gene in Bradenton.
Hey, Gene. Good morning. I've got a simple question. My wife is about to inherit a sum of money, six figures. Is that taxable to her?
Well, generally not. The estate tax exemption this year, did the person die this year, in this year, 2018?
No, they didn't. They died 2 years ago.
Okay, so 2 years ago, what? And was the size of the estate less than $5 million?
Yes, it was.
Okay. So the exemption right now is $11.2 million, and it goes to $11.4 million, and that's each. So a couple can leave, like you and your wife could leave, you know, next year you could leave $22.8 million tax-free, estate tax-free.
This was left to her.
I know, I understand. Okay, so okay. The only thing that would be tax, if it's cash in real estate that gets stepped up cost basis, there's no income tax to her to receive it. If she receives an IRA where taxes haven't been paid, there'd be no estate tax, but there could be an income tax when she rolls out the money. If it's an annuity with built-up income, the principal part of the annuity would be there'd be no estate tax. There could be a possible income tax on some of the things she receives, but no estate tax.
So it's not a simple yes or no answer.
Well, the only tax there would be a possible income tax on some of the assets that have built-up income that's never been taxed. There would be no estate tax. There are no tax on receiving the asset from an estate, unless it's like a retirement account, for example. It's a good example to understand. If the person died, it was not a Roth IRA, it's just a regular IRA, and your wife is the beneficiary of that, and the income tax has never been paid on it. When it comes out to her, there'll just be an income tax, you know, which maybe it's 20-25% of whatever she receives might be. It's whatever her tax bracket is.
Okay, but
there'd
the
be no.
That is hand,
yep.
The company that is handling this, U.S. Trust, should be able to help us.
They should be tell you exactly.
All right. Thank you for your time,
right.
Sir.
All right. Let me talk to Daryl just quickly. Hey, Daryl? Daryl, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Daryl, let me give you my cell number. You call me in about 10 minutes because I'm out of time. So it's 727-667-3967.
Okay.
Wait till about 9 o'clock and give me a call. I'll be driving back out of here then. Thanks. All right, thank you so much for listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We're every Saturday morning here to help you in any way we can. So you have a great, great week. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Holidays. Drive safe. Take care. Bye-bye.